Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special once again tonight. And I do thank the Lord for our music ministry here at the church. If you have your Bibles tonight, look with me to the book of Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. On Sunday nights, we've been going through and teaching on teachings of Christ. And we've done this in chronological order. It's a study through the Gospels, if you will. But all the things that Jesus himself presented in preparing his apostles for the New Testament church age. And as he was preparing them, it is the very same truths and training and discipling that you and I need to live the Christian life in this 21st century. And so we're in the third year of his public ministry. It's getting toward the end here. The third year was the year of opposition, the year of opposition. This is when the religious leaders had already determined at this time during this third year that they were going to do whatever they needed to do to get rid of this Christ, to get rid of Jesus. And they were doing that and trying to find false accusations, making false accusations and trying to get him to twist his words and all the different things. As you study the scriptures, you'll find that's what's taking place. But he also knew that it was the coming to the end of the opportunity he had to prepare his apostles for the apostolic age, to take over what he would have established as the New Testament church. And so tonight we're going to be looking at a very familiar passage of scripture, but trust that it might be able to give you some insight into this that'll be of help to you here tonight. So go ahead and stand with me. We're going to be reading chapter 16, verse 13 down to verse 18. Verse 13 down to verse 18. The Bible says, when Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias or Elijah, and others Jeremias or Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we come before you once again tonight, thank you for the opportunity that you give to each one of us that are here to be in church tonight. And Lord, for all that are here have taken advantage of it. And I just thank you for what we already received and just being assembled together in the music ministries. But now, Father, as we've opened up the Holy Scriptures and we've read this passage of Scripture, I know that you have a message for us through this passage. So I pray that you would just empower the preaching and the teaching of thy word once again. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. So in this particular event and the teachings of Christ, Jesus asks his disciples two questions. Can I tell you that you'll find that throughout the ministry of our Lord, he would pose questions to different people whenever they would come to him with a question. He would usually counter with a question for them and says, if you'll answer this, then I'll answer your questions. But he was very gifted, if you will, as God in helping us learn much by questions that he would ask. The questions that Jesus asked would be exactly what his disciples would need to answer. It's what they needed to answer for themselves. See, sometimes it's better to ask a question than to give the answer to the question. Parents need to realize that. I trust that many of you already are doing this, but your child disobeys you and you already know what you're going to do about it. Sometimes it's better, instead of just telling them what you're going to do about it, ask them what they think you should do. And with putting in there, you've put me in this position now, because I'm going to be held accountable to God for how I raise you. And I can't just let it slide. I can't do nothing, because I'm going to answer to God for how I discipline you, how I raise you. So knowing that I'm going to have to answer to God by how I respond to the position that you put me in, what do you think I ought to do? You would be surprised just what kind of answers. Now, of course, now they've heard the message, they know how to answer you. And, well, I wouldn't be that hard on me, Dad. I really wouldn't, you know. Everyone makes mistakes. Grace, mercy, grace and mercy. That's what it's all about. But you already know what you're going to do. You want them to know it's just. It's just. And sometimes they'll, like I said, they will surprise you by saying you ought to be harder on me than what you planned on being on them. That's when you know you're doing a good job in raising that kid. Yeah. Jesus asked two questions. In the passage that we just read, they needed to answer these questions for themselves. Did he know what was going on in their minds? He was God. He knew exactly what they were thinking. Did he know what everyone else was thinking about who he was? He was God. There's never a time that he was not omnipotent and omniscient and sovereign. He knew exactly the answers that he was looking for. But the disciples needed to answer for themselves. Two questions. So at this particular time in chapter 16 and verse 13, he says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples. Now he's training them. This is the third year. He's getting ready to go to the cross, to be crucified. And then he's going to ascend into heaven after he's met with him 40 days after his resurrection. He meets with the apostles 40 days, giving them final instructions as the Messiah, now that they know him to be. They didn't quite have all the information that they would have after the resurrection. They didn't really know how they would respond to him being arrested, even though he would prepare them by telling them he was going to be arrested, telling them he was going to be slain, he was going to be crucified, but on the third day he would rise again. He would prepare them for that, but they had not experienced that. And so in preparing them again, he says, whom do men say that the Son of Man am? Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? It's important to know what others think. Now, people, I don't care what anybody thinks. Well, you should. Because God has placed you there in a situation to help people, to minister. If you don't know what they're thinking, you can't help them. If we're going to reach people, we have to be aware of what people are thinking, how they've been programmed. As we preached on this morning, people are not the enemy. They're living in sin and justified because that's how they've been programmed. That's how they've been raised. They don't have the truth. They're living in darkness without even acknowledging that they're living in darkness. They don't know that they're living in darkness. If you cannot be the influence, and not everybody is going to be reached, and not everybody's going to be reached by you, and not everybody's going to be reached by me. Truth of it is, each one of you have a better chance of reaching certain people than I do. There's so many people that would never listen to a preacher. They would not listen to me, but because you have a connection to them, they will listen to you. So it's important to know what others think so that we are able to reach them with what's going on inside of them, how they have been programmed, how they have been, what they have been taught. In the book of Mark in chapter 6, Jesus would send his disciples out. And he would send them out to present Jesus Christ, to prepare the way for the coming of Christ in that area. Not everybody in certain areas could be reached because not everybody was open to who Jesus truly was. And he says here in Mark in chapter 6 and verse 10, and he said unto them, in what place soever ye enter into a house, there abide till ye depart from that place, and whosoever shall not receive you, knowing that they are representing Christ, the first thing they are to do is represent, let them know that I'm representing Jesus Christ. Sometimes we go door to door and we tell them we're representing the Lighthouse Baptist Church. We're from the Lighthouse Baptist Church, and we're here just trying to get to know the people in the area, trying to see who's going on, to answer questions you might have. And have you ever heard about Jesus? Or do you know where the Lighthouse is at? Or what's going on in your life? Do you know that God loves you? There's so many different things you can talk to people about, but reaching them, but you're going out and you're knocking on doors and you don't know what really they have on their minds. And whosoever shall not receive you nor hear you when ye depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. You got to realize there's some people that you can't reach. And those people that you can't reach, you can't let discourage you. Galatians in chapter 6, that goes right along with this, in Galatians in chapter 6 and verse 1, the Bible reveals here in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, somebody is involved in sin, ye which are spiritual. Those of you have the spiritual insight to know what's going on in their life, and you're able to share the spiritual help for them. Ye which are spiritual, restore and help them. Help them to overcome the sin. Help them to confess and forsake the sin and restore them if they're saved back into fellowship with God. If they're lost, restore them. Help them to repent and be saved. But ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, but considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. If you're not careful, if you're trying to win somebody that will not be won, that does not want to be influenced by you, if you're not careful, they will have a greater impact on your life and influencing you with their thinking than what you're influencing them. Whenever you find yourself in a position where you're being influenced more than you are the influence, as a born-again believer, get out of that situation. Remove yourself from that situation. You're not doing them any good. What you're doing is allowing yourself to be tempted by somebody else. And that's not why you're out there. That's not why we're here. We're here to represent Jesus Christ. And we do want to reach anybody and everybody that we can reach. But we got to know what's going on inside of them to know whether or not I'm able to reach them. Not everyone believed Jesus to be a righteous man. He asked them, what do men say? What do you think is going on in the minds of people concerning me? Because what's going on inside of that person makes a difference in how you approach that person and how you're able to reach that person. If they reject you, they rejected me, and shake the dust off and move on. Because there's a lot out there that you need to reach. Don't let somebody who will not be reached keep you from reaching those who will be reached. That makes sense? Yeah. Not everyone believed Jesus to be a righteous man. Most religious rulers of the day at this time wanted him dead. They wanted him dead, trying to find people to make false accusations against him. trying to find him in fault, did everything to set him up, set traps for him, just to be able to prove that he was not the Son of God. But he was and is the Son of God. Most believe him to be a prophet. And that's what they say. So when he asks him, what do men, what's in your mind? You're thinking about what other people think of who Jesus. Now you've given your life to serve him. You're going out there representing him. Do you know what people are thinking concerning the Savior that you're presenting to them? That's what's going on. And he asked them a question. He helped them more by asking them the question than telling them what the people were thinking. Because he wanted them to be able to think for themselves. He wanted them to be able to read the people to find out just what was going on. So whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? What is going on in your mind concerning what other people are thinking concerning me? That's what's happening. And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. If you look over to John in chapter 3, most of the religious leaders wanted him dead. They did not believe him to be the Messiah, even though some of them were a little more curious because they had seen everything that he had done. And they realize that this cannot be an unrighteous man for him to be able to do the things that he's done. Even these religious rulers, they had questions. And the Bible records for us the man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, who was a ruler of the Jews, who would not have been a part of wanting him dead, but did not know exactly what to think about who Jesus was. And the Bible says the same came to Jesus by night, because he was concerned about what everybody would think about him as a religious ruler if he went to Jesus by day. And this is what was on his mind. Said to him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher. At least he acknowledged him as a rabbi or a representative of God, some type of a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. He came to him by night and he said, you know, I'm not with those of the mentality that we need to have you crucified, that we need to kill you, we need to get rid of you, because no one could do what you've done unless they had some righteousness in them. I just want to find out just what kind of righteousness, where is this coming from? What kind of relationship do you have with God? Not thinking he was this Messiah, the Son of God, but knowing that he had to be a righteous man to do what he had done. Can I tell you, that's where a lot of people are at even today in religion. Some people even in Baptist churches. A righteous man. They maybe even would identify with what the apostle said that others were thinking. John would have been known as a powerful preacher of righteousness. Could it be that some of the apostles would actually be answering, yes, and we know some of people, because it's really kind of what I'm thinking, that you're like John the Baptist and you're another John the Baptist. That means that you have a knack for, power in preaching. And you preach righteousness. You don't sugarcoat it. Baptist preacher. And others would say that, no, maybe it's not John the Baptist, but possibly more like Elijah, who's been reincarnated maybe. Because Elijah was known as a miracle-working prophet in the Old Testament, actually performed more miracles than any other prophet in the Old Testament. And so we've seen you do things that there's no answer to them. We've seen you raise the dead. We've seen you heal the blind. We've seen you heal leprosy. There's things that you've done that prove to us that you are more than just a man. You have connections to God. You're more like an Old Testament prophet that has been reincarnated. Maybe you're Elijah. And then others, because they've seen another side of our Lord, like Jeremiah's. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, because we've seen your compassion for souls. We've seen your love of humanity. Can I tell you, thinking him to be a John, thinking him to be an Elijah, thinking him to be a Jeremiah is not good enough. Matter of fact, Jesus would address that in John chapter 3. Look back there with me. In John chapter 3 and verse 3. When Nicodemus says, well, you're a teacher, a rabbi. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He knew exactly what Nicodemus was thinking. Because he knew exactly what Nicodemus was thinking, he knew what he needed to present to Nicodemus to get him saved. Except a man be born again. Nicodemus, born again? How is that possible? He says, Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Again, he's trying to figure out these thoughts going into my mind. You say, you're telling me I need to be born again. I don't understand being born again. I just thought you to be a rabbi, a good man, a righteous man. Somebody had connections with God. And Jesus said, no. He says, you're coming to me to find out how to be saved. And you have to be born again. Jesus answered, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. He clarifies that by saying this in the very next verse, that which is born of the flesh. So that water is not baptism. That's of the sack of the mother. It's born in that. He said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound of thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whether it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So Nicodemus, you have to realize that I am the very Son of God, and you need to be born again. The way to be born again is to acknowledge the fact that I am the Messiah. I am the Savior. I will pay your sin debt. You need to know that you were born once of a physical birth, but you have to come to the place which you are born spiritually, and the only way that you're going to be able to be born spiritually is through me. That's what he's trying to get at Nicodemus to understand. So then he asks a second question. Whom do men say I am? Which would also help them to know what they might think concerning who Jesus was. And so then he goes back in our text and he said, the second question asked, verse 15, but whom say ye that I am? Can't be the same. Nicodemus, it can't be the same. But does what others believe impact what you believe? Does what the world think, what religion, other religions think? Does it impact what you think? I believe that's what he's asking, the two questions. First of all, what is everybody else? Now we've heard what you think people are saying. What do you think other people are thinking about me? Now let's make it more personal. This is what you think everybody else is thinking, and you've got to know that to be able to reach them. But in order to reach them as well with the truth, you have to believe yourself. What do you say? But whom say ye that I am? Nicodemus. That very same chapter is where we find John 3:16. Because ultimately, Nicodemus, he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's exactly what Nicodemus needed to see, is Jesus was not a rabbi. He was not just a good, righteous man. He was God. And as God, he came in the form of a man, presented the truths, and then paid a sin debt that we owed and couldn't pay. Is that what you think of Jesus? How we answer that question, whom say ye that I am, will determine your eternity. Because no one that just believes that he's a good man, a good teacher, a prophet, is going to go to heaven. You've got to see him as the only hope that you have to go to heaven. There have been a lot of people that died of crucifixion. Matter of fact, Peter would end up being crucified upside down because he said, I will not be crucified right side up as my Savior. I don't deserve to be crucified as my Lord was. Crucify me upside down. There's been a lot of people who've died and give their lives for other people, but there's only been one only begotten Son of God, only one sinless man, only one that had sinless blood, and it took the sinless blood of the Lamb to be able to wash the sins away from all mankind. There's no other way it could have happened. So God had to become man, and he had to become man and have a sinless life that he could offer his sinless blood on Calvary's cross so that you and I might believe it, who he is and what he's done, and receive him as our personal Lord and Savior. If you don't believe him to be God, you're not saved. Because you didn't realize it took sinless blood. And if a righteous man could die for your salvation, then there'd been a lot of righteous men die. But only one had the power to defeat the devil, to resurrect from the grave, and present us justified before an almighty God. And that's why he's ever living to make intercession for us. He intercedes between us and Almighty God. And when God looks to me, he looks to the blood of Christ and sees me as being sinless, justified, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Peter speaks up. He asks all of them, and all of them are trying to figure out, all right, what is the right answer? What's he looking for here? We've already told him what everybody else believes. Is that what I believe? Because that's what everybody else believes. And before anyone else could say anything, shouldn't surprise us, Peter speaks up. He normally would be the spokesperson for all the disciples when they were together. And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. The Christ meaning he is the Messiah. He is what was prophesied by all the prophets of the Old Testament. He made the difference by himself coming. A sacrificial lamb. You're the Christ. You're the only begotten Son of the living God. Wow. But not all believe that. Surely the other men, people around, didn't understand that. But did all the disciples, all the apostles? We know one for sure didn't believe that. Judas. Judas was thinking, what do I think of you? And he would have said, I think that you're the same thing that Nicodemus said that he thought of him. A rabbi. Possibly even Judas. I mean, not Judas, but Thomas. Doubting Thomas. Even after the resurrection, he wasn't there at the upper room. And he said, I'll not believe until I touch his nail-scarred hands and touch the side where the spear went through. I'll not believe. Peter spoke out. But the thing of it is, all of them needed to answer that for themselves. From that point forward, all would have this question on their minds. Because they were asked the question by the Lord, whom say ye? Who do you think I am? What's on your mind? You need to answer that question. Not for anybody else's sake, but for your own personal sake. If somebody was to come to you and say, who do you think Jesus is? How would you respond? Well, go back with me and we're done here, but Jesus reveals why he asked them. The two questions, and then he reveals why he asked them, verse 17. Jesus answered and said unto him, he addresses Peter because Peter was the outspoken one that said he was the Christ. Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it. It's not enough to know what flesh and blood or man's teaching reveals. Because it will never lead you to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Man's teachings, man's philosophies, and whom say ye that I am? It's not enough to know. No doubt, they all had opinions. They all had something on their mind at this point. No, only God knew what was really what they had accepted in their minds. But he said, flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Peter's response was given to him by God. It's where Peter's revelation came from. Your revelation to believe that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God, the only plan of salvation, the only way that I'm going to have to go to everlasting, have everlasting life, can I tell you that has to come from your revelation from God? Outside the revelation from God, I would say no, no, no. If a person would live a life that is pleasing to God, if a person would do more good in their life than their evil in their life, God will weigh the balance. Not everybody can be perfect. Not everybody's going to be good. So as long as we are able to be more good than bad, as long as I can look around and see that there's somebody else worse than I am, at least if I'm going to die and go to hell, everybody else too, because I know how they live. I'm better than they are. If they're going to heaven, I'm surely going to go to heaven because I'm a better person than they are. And if I had to go by my own thinking, if I had to go by the thinking of the world, if I had to go by religion, then there's all these different things that would persuade me what I got to do to go to heaven. What I think of who Jesus is. But I don't have to depend on flesh and blood. I don't have to depend on man's philosophies. God himself revealed it to Peter. And God himself reveals it to us through the scriptures. The scriptures are God's revelation for us today. This Holy Bible. 2 Timothy. I got to close it. But 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I don't have to rely on man. I don't have to rely on what a religion teaches. I don't have to rely on what a preacher says. Because God has fulfilled what he wanted for us to know concerning the revelations of Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14. Let me get over there myself. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Why do you believe what you believe? What's it based upon? Is it based upon religion? Is it based upon mom and dad's teaching? Is it based upon my own human philosophy? Flesh and blood. I don't have to depend upon flesh and blood, because flesh and blood will never reveal the truth. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So Paul says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Because it's the word that people need to base their beliefs on. It's what you've got in your mind concerning who Jesus is and what it takes for you to be saved and why you know that you're going to heaven and not hell. Is it based upon flesh and blood, or is it based upon the revelation from God? It's important. He couldn't tell them that. He had to ask them the questions to get them to know what they were truly thinking. And if it was right thinking or not. Jesus wanted them to go beyond what man believes to what God says. And he would end it. I say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock, this foundation, this cornerstone that Jesus himself would establish his church on, and Peter's belief in the very same cornerstones that Jesus established for his church, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Peter would then write, in 2 Peter chapter 1, we're closing with this, but 2 Peter chapter 1, this is Peter, who was there, who was asked by Jesus, who's the spokesperson, who spoke up, and he said what God had revealed to him concerning who Jesus was. Now Peter writes this in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables. Because that's not going to get you heaven. That's not going to get you to have right thinking concerning who Jesus is. We have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty, for he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, that is my beloved Son. When he was baptized, Peter said, I heard it. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the mount, in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. It's an interpreted the same for all. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. Flesh and blood didn't bring it to you. But holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. This right here is God's revelation to each and every one of us, so each and every one of us can have right thinking concerning what others might say who he is. Got to accept it, understand it, but you can help them to understand if you understand and you know who Jesus is. Do you know who Jesus is? The world needs to hear from you so that they can believe and be saved. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed tonight. They needed to answer the questions for themselves. It'll do you well to answer the question for yourself. What do you think others think of Jesus? Has that impacted what you think of Jesus? Is what the world believes, does it impact what you believe? Not only do what you think about others and what they believe, but do you know what you believe? What do you believe concerning whom Jesus is? Wow. Whom say ye that Jesus is? And what do you base it upon? You got to know it's revelation from God that reveals to us our belief in who Jesus is. Father, we bow before you now and love you. Thank you, Lord, for the truth of your word. And Lord, for teaching not only your apostles this truth, but recording it so that we, like them, might learn what we need to learn to be able to serve an almighty God, and even lead others to this saving knowledge. I pray, God, that you would work now in our midst, blessing this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.